So we look and move to that opportunity. Many opportunity. Many thanks to those of you still recovering. Weren't around last week and we're still recovering from the concert. We are still fine. We had for Chisefu. We are still finalizing our numbers on what we raised for that, but we know that we raised at least $2,900. So that we're pretty sure that's more than that. So the wells have been funded and the money will get transferred so that we can start. They can start digging in October as well. Next week is a very big week in the life of this weekend in the life of this church, and it looks like so. I'm going to let her share with come forward.
Hello, hi, morning. So as Pastor Chris has mentioned a couple times, it is a very big weekend. Next weekend, we have a lot going on. First of all. We, on Saturday, October 4th, the Nurture Committee is hosting a fall festival. It's become an annual event at our church. Everyone is welcome to attend. Please bring your friends, neighbors, relatives. The event will take place from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll have a bouncy house, arts and crafts, food, just lots of fun for the family. If anyone is interested in helping out with this event, we do need quite a few volunteers to help out with craft tables, and we are asking for anyone to bring in food donations, items for food, like breakfasty or, you know, muffins, that kind of thing, bagels, coffee, juice. So if anyone is interested in helping to volunteer for this event or bring a food item, please see Sally Lockhart, who is right here, and or Juliet Chan, who is in the back in the polka dot, lovely dress. So please see them if you can help out in any way, whether it's just dropping off an item or coming to volunteer and assist in. Oh, yes, and we do need some people to help set up in the morning, if possible. They'll be meeting at 9:15 to help set up. We need some sturdy people to help bring up some chairs and tables to set up on the front lawn of our church. So if any of you are available, any youth out there also available, that would be greatly appreciated. Jumping on to the fall festival, kind of switch gears into PNC mode. We will be welcoming our candidate for the new co-pastor position this coming weekend as well. She will be coming with her family. Again, her name is Siobhan Starling Lewis, and she will be here with us the weekend and preaching and helping to run the worship service on October 5th, that Sunday. But she will also be present during the fall festival with her family. She has a 5.5-year-old daughter named Soraya who will be attending the event. After the fall festival, all youth are invited to attend a meet and greet lunch with Siobhan at 12:30. So if you plan on helping out with the festival, you're welcome to stay and get some lunch provided by the PNC. So please make every effort to attend and meet with our potential new co-pastor. And moving on to the next day, of course, we will have Siobhan here preaching on Sunday. And following the service on Sunday, all members of the church are asked to attend a congregational meeting in which we will be voting on whether to call Siobhan as our permanent co-pastor. If the vote is approved, if she is approved as the new co-pastor, we will then also vote on terms of call for Siobhan as well as new terms of call for Pastor Chris. So all of this information is detailed actually in a letter, and there were some brochures about Siobhan and her family left over Friday last Sunday. We have a few left over for this Sunday if you'd like to pick one up. But the letter and the brochure will be mailed out to all members. Oh, it has been mailed. It has been mailed. You should be getting it sometime this week. Again, if any of you have questions, you're more than welcome to ask myself or any of the members on the PNC. If any of you are here, if you could just stand so people know who you are. We've got quite a few here today, which is great. So ask any of us any questions about Siobhan, her family, what her favorite color is, you know, anything you'd ever want to know about her. So we hope that you can all make it next week to any of those events, and we look forward to just joining in worship together on World Communion Sunday.
Also next Sunday after worship, or in worship and beyond, we are going to be recognizing with flowers, we hope, our 25-year-plus members of this congregation. So watch for people who are wearing flowers, because there's a few folks here who have been here for a very, very long time. Next Sunday, also remember that it is our new structure for Communion Sundays with our children, and there's details about that on the back of your worship bulletin this morning, that we start with church school downstairs.
I was reminded this morning that the teachers in church school are members who need to vote on Siobhan, so they need to hear her sermon. So next Sunday, Sunday school will be childcare from 3-year-olds to the same kids that were eligible in the summer. And the teachers will be in worship. And so we're going to make that happen so the teachers can vote with intelligence and can hear her.
Session elders, please note that our session meeting is at 7 o'clock. It's incorrectly listed in the bulletin at the old time of 7:30, but we're still meeting at 7 o'clock. Are there other announcements?
Well, just a reminder that the children will be with us for communion, and so especially the children that would normally be in We Believe that will be up with us for the yet had discussed week. If you have not yet had discussion in your family of which of your children will be receiving communion with us, please have that discussion this week. Please discuss it with your kids. Also, the middle school and the high school kids need to know in advance when the communion tray comes around whether they're going to be taking communion or not. If you wish to have one of the little booklets that's a little bit more elementary, it's not for the older kids, that explains communion, and there's a parent's guide that goes along with that to help this facilitate this discussion in your family if you wish. I do still have some of those booklets. Please see me after service. Thank you.
Any other announcements this morning? Let us then prepare to worship God. please join with me in the responsive call to worship? God creates the heavens and stretches them in sunset crimson splendor and storm-purpled cloud. God spreads the earth with golden grain and scarlet leaves. God breathes into every being the breath of life. God fills with the Spirit all who walk the path of faith. Let us worship God who flings the twinkling galaxies into the deep darkness of space. Let us worship God who calls us by names and holds our hands when we stumble. Let us stand to sing together, "Come All You People." With hearts grateful for the gift of God's grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, let us turn to God in prayer, first in silence in a time of confession, then praying together. Together we pray. Gracious God, we confess that we are sinners. We do things that we regret, and we do not even understand why we do them. We leave unsaid and undone things that would be good for ourselves and kind to others. We compliment ourselves on our religious behavior and are pleased to be seen doing kind deeds. Our generosity is carefully measured against our abundant resources. Merciful God, teach us humility, surprise us with forgiveness, and ask of us more than we expect to give. Amen. This is the good news that we have received, that Christ came into the world to save the world. Through the power of forgiveness, let us embrace that promise of new life. In Christ, we are forgiven and freed. Thanks be to God. Let us stand to sing our praise, singing "Halla, Halla, Halla" twice through.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. During this time, we would like to share our joys and our concerns with one another.
I'd like to ask prayers for Ron and Susie Deal. They're good friends of my family and my parents. Ron just died. Susie's his wife. So prayers for them, please.
Our son Todd took his therapeutic dose for cancer on Thursday. And so he's been radioactive for the last 3 days. We expect to see him this afternoon. This is the week to pray that this treatment will kill all the cancer cells in his body. So please pray for Todd.
Thanks again for your prayers for my neighbor Jim, who did get his liver transplant and is now out of ICU as of yesterday. Still with jaundice and some other issues, but on target pretty much. And the thing we need to pray for especially is going to need, they're going to need to move before he gets back to a first floor apartment that takes pets. Thank you.
Joy, on September 17th, Colin celebrated her second birthday.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my mother, Angela. She was hospitalized last week. She's home now, and I just ask for prayers for continuous recovery.
We were happy last week to celebrate Keith's birthday and thankful for his life. And also have a couple of prayer requests. One, it would be great if we could pray for house groups starting up again in the church this month, and that would be a really great opportunity for closer friendships and fellowship in the church and community building, and that it would be an encouragement to everyone in their faith. And would also love prayers for a friend of mine, Kevin, who is going through a very difficult time with his wife wanting a divorce. Thanks.
I just like prayers of wisdom for my son, Sebastian, and myself.
Much completed their work. He has pretty much completed their work. I'd like to ask for prayers for the Calvin Church's PNC, which has been working longer than our PNC, and ask that God will lead them to the person that God is calling them to be their pastor soon.
Nancy and I covet your prayers from now through New Year's. 18 months ago, I answered an ad in Christian Century. We're going to Mexico for 3 months to help pastor a small church, community church, in San Miguel de Allende, just north of Mexico City. They provide the transportation and a two-bedroom apartment, and I found out this last week it comes with maid service twice a week. I don't know that I can stand that. It really relieves me of a lot of my homework. We provide about halftime pastoral services to the congregation. We'll have to use public transportation and pesos, but we covered your prayers. So we wish you a ghoulish Halloween, a grateful Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
It is a time of a lot of transition, and Judy Babcock is moving next Saturday, so prayers for that, but also anyone who is not helping with the Fall Festival that might be able to lend her a hand in that move on Saturday morning, please talk to Judy after worship this morning. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, as we seek to be your people in discipleship, walking where you will us, seeking you first in our lives. We pray, O Lord, for our world torn apart so often and in so many places by division and strife. May hope and peace abound in and through all your people, that justice might come, that true peace might be in our world. We pray for wisdom and grace for world, national, and local leaders in these days. Give us, too, the grace to follow where you alone lead. We give thanks, O God, for the joys and blessings of life, for the work of our PNC and the excitement towards next week, for Keith's birthday last week. Confident in your ability to heal, we lift to those you know are in need of healing power in these days, named and unnamed, those in body, mind, and spirit who seek your healing presence. I pray for strength for my mom and my sisters in these days, for Camilla, for Todd, particularly in this week as the medication works its way, for Jim recovering from his liver transplant and towards the move and the hope there, for Angela, Aluma's mother. We pray, O Lord, for all those who are in the midst of transitions, for birthdays and the excitement around them, for our lives are a constant of ebb and flow, beginnings and endings. Particularly today, we lift up Glenn and Nancy Ramsey as they travel tomorrow to this new ministry opportunity in San Miguel. Bless them with your spirit as they are a blessing to others in Mexico. May they be richly blessed by the time and continue connected here in our prayers for them and in these months away from us. May they have good health and many adventures in this call as you lead them. We pray for this time of transition here at Providence Presbyterian, for next week's visit with Pastor Siobhan and her family and these exciting days to come, for fellowship in Fall Festival, for celebration of our longtime members. We pray, O Lord, as you move with us and have moved through us as we move into these last weeks of Pastor B's interim ministry with us, and thank you for her presence and her wisdom in these days. We pray for the startup of house groups again, and thank you, God, for raising leaders who would contribute their gifts to fellowship and community together. We pray, O Lord, for places that are still seeking, for Calvin Church as its PNC continues to work, for prayers of wisdom for Sebastian and Suzanne, for Kevin in this very difficult time. We pray for those who are in the perils of grief, for the Keel family in the death of Ron. Remind us, O God, that you are ever with us, that we belong to you, that you walk with us even in the darkest places of our lives. We, O God, are a people richly blessed in this time. Remind us of that as we seek to journey where you alone would lead us. And so we would pray in the power of the one who walked this life, who walks with us still, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come down now for the children's message.
do you think?
There's a dog. And here's another dog. Two dogs. Which do you think is the better dog here? That one? That one better? This one. Dogs aren't green. What else is wrong with it? Well, it only has three legs. Three eggs apart. Only has three eggs and only the ears are all broken and they're falling apart. No mouth either? Oh. It's chewed up. It looks really sad, doesn't it? You know what? That dog may look a lot nicer, but this one's a whole lot more loved. You know? It's been loved. This one's all beat up much. Loved so much. And then, of course, the dog's got it. But this one was carried around and loved and taken to bed, and the ears were chewed on and sucked on so much. Loved so much. But that dog didn't get all that. This dog is the more precious one. This is the ugly. It is pretty ugly. Even if it is pretty ugly, it is very loved, and it gave a lot. I know it did comfort to a little child who needed comfort and wanted something in bed with it and all that kind of thing. So to remember, you know, sometimes like that, and sometimes and nice like that, and sometimes people might look beautiful and nice like that, and some of them might look kind of, you know, frumpy and ugly. But we can't tell by looking, can we, of what thing is really the better one, or what person is really the person. We can't tell just by looking at people who's the best person, the nicest person, the most big guy person. Some scary big guy who looks kind of scary, just ignores kids, plays, and gets dances with them, and has and plays with them, and rough houses with them, and has so much fun with them. And sometimes this lady who looks so very sweet is not very nice with little children. And so you never can tell just by looking at people what kind of people they are. So always remember that. Don't look at somebody and try to decide what kind of person they are. Get to know them first and find out what they're like. And love everybody. They're all homely and as you can. Whether they're all home, beautiful and nice, and this one all polished. You want to hold that one? You can hold it for just a little bit. You want to hold that one? Okay, I'll hold it for just a minute while we pray, okay? Then I have to take them home or they'll be missed. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all kinds of people, for ones that look beautiful and nice and kind, and those who just look kind of frumpy that are loving too. Help us to love all people no matter what they look like. Amen. Okay. Give it a big hug, and then you can give it back to me. Give the doggy a big hug.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. found on page 61 in your Pew Bible, 79 in the large print, and I presume on the screen. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah. Those two words mean test and quarrel, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The New Testament lesson is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which some scholars believe was written when he was in prison in Rome. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, page 186 on the Pew Bible and 240 in the large print. "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
now and again, I come upon a text upon which I have a lot of baggage. And so this week, I have written 3 sermons. And I'm not happy with any of them. One of my colleagues told me that one of her seminary professors said, "Not all sermons are great, some of them are dogs, so walk the dog proudly." Well, I think this sermon looked like that little green one. And so I'm not so sure how proudly that dog can walk. So I'm going to just be straightforward and honest about this text. Before I actually write my sermon, I come up with a sermon title. Because, you know, it's only fair for Dan to have the stuff of the bulletin a few days in advance. And so I try to do all these things about a week in advance. So last Sunday when I wrote down the sermon title for today, it seemed perfectly sound and fine. And then I looked at it and I said, when I started to sit down and write this sermon, why in the world did I write that one down? In all humility. And so I've been struggling this week. And just so you know, ministers do struggle sometimes. We don't have all of the answers. Not all texts are wonderful and easy, and lots of times I take the ones that are challenging. You may have noticed I will take ones that are kind of difficult at times. Well, this one is personally difficult because of that concept of humility. There's this lovely phrase in here that says, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's one of the nice ones. And so it's going to be a little difficult. Just a minute. Let me see if I can find it. In humility, regard others better than you. That's the good one. In all humility, regard others better than you. I grew up in a segregated South. I saw too much mandated humility. I saw classmates who were relegated in home economics, two separate rooms that were not equal. While the white students got to use the electric sewing machines, those students used treadle sewing machines in the back rooms, and the teacher never went back to help them. If they asked questions, they were belittled. That is not humility, that is abuse. Likewise, I've had a minister say when the marriage was rocky, well, if he's mistreating you, you must not be treating him right. You better go home and take better care of him and do what he asks you to do. That's not humility either. Regarding somebody better than you so that they can abuse you is not what Paul meant in this passage. And so I come to this passage wrestling against my own history. And I want to make sure that other people who might have a similar history with this passage know that that is not what Paul meant. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage about Christ and about God's amazing, amazing love for us. And it's about Paul's amazing love for this group of people in Philippi. And he is urging them to find unity. And he uses phrases in this hope that they will find unity. Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. But he's not saying do it at the expense of your own self-worth. He is saying do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others
as better than yourselves. There's a whole lot in that phrase that lots of people tend to ignore. They like to look at that part, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, and forget, in humility, regard others better than yourself. There's a balance here. There's a mutuality that Paul is suggesting. That you're not better than I am, I'm not better than you are, we are all equal. And all of our ideas are just as worthy as the other person's ideas. So if we're seeking unity, we are supposed to be humbly looking and listening to the other person's point of view. And not saying we have the only one and it's right. I have this horror that I will be wrong. I really do. What's to say my interpretation of Scripture is the correct one? I have no great mandate from God that says I am the only authorized version. There's no translation which is the only authorized version. When it comes to Scripture, I feel like God is the only one who really knows what it means. And where do I get off even trying to figure out what it means? And so Paul's talking about a mutuality where we search together for understanding so that everything we do is for the greater mutual benefit. And this word humility, and forgive me those of you who know Greek better than I, that this word from Greek that is translated as humility is a compound word. It's two words put together. And it's a fascinating combination. One of the words actually means midriff. Midriff. I don't know about your midriff, but that's where my gut gets all queasy when I'm nervous. That's where I have the butterflies. That's where I have the nerves. When I'm anxious, that's where it gets all knotted up. And that's where I have a sense of freedom and joy as well. Midriff. What this word humility is talking about is that sharing of emotion. And the second part of the word is really talking about, kind of in a sense, restraining that emotion. So when we're talking about humility, we're talking about this feeling with other people, identifying with their emotions, having compassion. But at the same time, perhaps, it suggests that we're not to allow ours to spill over and take over theirs. So just that one little word, humility, look at all the things it has come to mean in our society. There's that humbleness, humiliation. And yet humility is talking about emotion. Who would have thought that that's what it's really about? And so we have this word humility, which I wrestle with. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. What's going to be for the good of everybody in this decision-making process? Will Siobhan be a wonderful pastor for just me? Is that all I should look at? Or should I be looking at what Siobhan can do for the future of this congregation? All of the decisions that a congregation makes should be made in mutuality of what is for God's glory. We have this misconception that the church is about us. Worship is about us. It didn't do anything for me today. Boy, that sermon sure fell flat for me. But it's not about us. Kierkegaard has this wonderful concept where worship is a three-way thing. It's between the pastor, the congregation, and God. It's multidimensional. It's not between me and you, folks. I would much rather it was between me and God and you.
And it's that same sort of mutuality that Paul is talking about in here. When he's talking to the Philippians and saying, work together, folks. Make your decisions with each other's needs in mind, with each other's emotional well-being in mind. And as you're doing it with your life centered in this amazing miracle called Christ. The Christ event. If churches, denominations, congregations, and everybody who's quarreling about what's right and what's wrong would just get their noses out of the dogma and get their faces back on what's right, which is faces of Christ. Christ is the center of the church. We have a cross at the center of our sanctuaries. That's what we're all about, is Christ. And it's when we forget that Christ should be the center and we get caught up on all this other stuff that we begin to quarrel among ourselves and forget the well-being of one another. And this glorious hymn that is here in Philippians is such a fantastic picture of the Christ event. He was in the form of God, but did not regard God as the equal. Didn't exploit his royal highness role. Jesus was with God at the creation, but Jesus didn't lord that over everybody. Jesus came down to be on a level with us. There's that phrase, level with me. We want somebody to be honest with us, but we also want them to be where we are. And that's when our best ministry takes place, is when we are on the same level with people. And Christ does that. Christ comes and gets under human skin and becomes a human being so that Christ feels absolutely everything we feel, knows what this midriff is all about, what all these emotions are about. But Christ also knows the humiliation of a criminal's death on a cross, where he suffered agony, where people mocked him and made fun of him, where he hit the absolute lowest bottom that we hope we never have to hit. That's how much God in Christ loves us. That God would get on the level with us and do and be everything we are. So that therefore God also highly exalted Jesus. He raised him again and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the confession of faith that should be on every person's lips. Jesus Christ is Lord. We know he is Lord because he came down on the same level with us and lived and walked and healed and taught and suffered so we would know that Christ wants the well-being of each and every one of us. Lovely passage ends, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Whoops, we're supposed to work out our own salvation? We got to keep reading. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both in will and to work for his good pleasure.
is not about us, and we don't do it alone, because God is at work in us. For God, who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. As we approach next Sunday, seek to do God's good pleasure. But don't force the issue. Let God work through you. Let God work through each of you to discern who is going to be the next co-pastor with Pastor Chris for Providence Presbyterian Church, and work together for the good of all, in all humility.
Let us stand and affirm our faith from Philippians. God highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Jenny Surgner. I'm the chair of the Outreach Steering Committee. So that's why I am in front of you today, giving the moment for mission. If you haven't noticed in your pews, there are these beautiful little peacemaking offering envelopes, as well as the insert in your bulletin today. Because we will be collecting the peacemaking offering this week and dedicating it next week. I wanted to talk with you very briefly just about every year a portion of the peacemaking offering that we gather here will go to a local organization that we choose, and last year we chose the same organization, so we're excited to continue to give money to them. But it is the, I always get this wrong, so I'm going to read it off the thing. The Institute for the Study and the Practice of Nonviolence here in Providence. And the Institute began in 2001 after there were quite a few deaths of youth in Providence, through St. Michael's Church. And they have worked continuously since 2001 to not only teach the practices of nonviolence, but to support victims and families of nonviolence, to work with youth in the city to prevent youth and gang-related deaths. So we're very excited to be able to support them again this year, and hope that you will join me in giving towards this peacemaking offering, and then the rest will go towards to the national peacemaking offering, to national efforts for peacemaking. So please give generously. Thank you.
In gratitude for the miracle of Christ and God's love, let us bring our offerings so that we may do his will.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we dedicate these offerings and these gifts to your use, that it may further your kingdom in this world. In Christ's name we pray.
Into the world, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord in all that you do and say. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let the people say, Alleluia. Amen.